The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Well, hi, this is Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured from no fault of their own, please contact Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Whether auto or work-related, slip and fall, trip and fall, construction accidents, dog bite, medical malpractice, or nursing home neglect, or various other types of negligence, please contact me at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg by visiting me at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. I will represent you with integrity and passion. Living in pain from no fault of your own can be emotionally and physically detrimental and affect all aspects of your life. Please contact me, Ken Auerbach, at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg by visiting myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900 for an immediate and free consultation and the support and representation you deserve. Well, welcome back, everyone. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg. I have my great associate, my co-host Amanda Spinner with us. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
Really nice to have you here today on this lovely day.
It's a little gloomy, but yes, I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's not gloomy now because we're here with our listeners and we're going to go over some great information, right? So welcome back to our program, From No Fault of Your Own. As you know, it's our goal to give you folks an insider's view of bringing and proceeding with various types of personal injury actions caused by the negligence of some other party. And among these areas that we have explored and we will continue to explore are car accidents, trip and slip and falls, construction accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home neglect, dog bites, products liability, and many, many other circumstances of negligence and serious injuries that often occur. And through our journey together, hopefully we have removed some of the mystery and uncertainty and will continue to do so and help you feel empowered, knowledgeable, and confident in the process. We are live today, so if you do have a question, you can call the studio at 631-451-1039, and we would be privileged to answer any question you might have about personal injury. It's oftentimes that we'll leave the studio and we'll get a call from you folks right after or during the week. We love to answer those questions, but please feel free to call in. We'd love to talk to you live here. And if you do call us live, Amanda, what do we have for them?
A free From No Fault of Your Own t-shirt.
Yes, and those are going fast and furious. Those are hot items, and they really are a great t-shirt. And they were actually designed by my partner, Rob Steinberg. And so kudos to Rob because he has talents that I could only dream about.
Yes, definitely. He's very creative and artistic.
So last time, Amanda, on the show, we were talking about a topic that's of a lot of interest to a lot of our clients, and that was about settlements and trying to value cases and evaluate cases. And the area that we started with is the topic of evaluating automobile accident cases and what they're worth and how we do that. And one of the things that we emphasized is that each case is very different. You can't evaluate a case simply based upon the fact that you had something the week before or someone came into you the week before and they have something that sounds like maybe similar circumstances without really understanding that particular case, right?
Exactly.
And so what we do is in evaluating these cases, and we're going to just sort of recap on automobile accidents, is we first look at it and we say, okay, when the client comes in, we have to evaluate different facts. And oftentimes we don't know a lot of the information. We don't have your medical information. We don't have the police information. We don't have information from witnesses. So what we're doing at that point is we're gathering information. And in gathering that information, we do that during consultations, Amanda, and we do take a lot of time doing those. Am I correct?
Yes, especially for motor vehicle accidents, because there can be so many parts of your body that are injured during those incidences. And sometimes we've talked about this on the show before, but a lot of times people just focus on the area that's really, really bothersome to them, and they're not realizing that other parts are hurt. So we really take time and go through all of that during the first consultation.
And that's a really good point. So as an example, we were talking about a client comes to us and they're focused on their pain center, which is similar to what some of the doctors have said who have come on to the show, that were talking about head injuries.
Right.
And I think it was Dr. Mendelsohn, if I recall, said that people come in, they go into the hospital, and they're complaining that there's a part of their body that's in pain. But when they're in the hospital, oftentimes they're not moving around, they're not walking around, and oftentimes they will have head injuries.
Right.
And they'll have issues that have been caused as a result of trauma to the brain. And it's not something that they're going to be focused on. They may not even know. They may have been on a stretcher the whole time.
Right.
And not walking around. And so what's important is when you come to us, what we want to do is we want to ask you about what's going on in your life. We're not going to rush you through that process. Typically, our intakes take, I would say, on average, minimum, an automobile case, probably about an hour and a half. And we want to spend the time with you. We have the time for you. And I do believe if you don't have the time to go over it with a client, then you really shouldn't be taking the case thinking that, you know, you're going to get on to the next one. Because oftentimes you can miss things. And we don't want to be missing things. We want to be able to be comprehensive. We want you to realize that we do care about you. We want to make sure that in addition to getting the information we need for the case, more importantly, we want to make sure that you're getting the right treatment.
Right.
And I know sometimes we'll be sitting there and it's clear to us that the person, for whatever reasons, hasn't got in for the right treatment. And they're hurting or there's some type of an issue. And we'll ask them, did you ever see a neurologist? Did your doctor recommend a neurologist? Did you talk to your doctor about the symptoms that you're having? You're having dizziness. Did you tell the doctor that? Are you having imbalance? Did you tell the doctor that? Because all the medical stuff ultimately should really be channeling through your medical professionals. And if for whatever reasons you haven't told the doctor that, the doctor can't treat you for something that you're not saying. I do see sometimes in head injury cases in particular that people, again, are focused on the pain part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They just know they don't feel right.
Right.
And, you know, they're not thinking clearly or they're dizzy, they're having imbalance. And the problem is if you have a head injury sometimes, you're not thinking clearly, then you're not thinking clearly.
Right.
So you really need to take the time with the client. You really need to explore it. And we do that in our office, Amanda, and that's something that we do emphasize. Am I correct?
Yes. And we also really emphasize the client asking as many questions as they feel comfortable with, because you want the client to be comfortable with the process, because it can be oftentimes a pretty lengthy process.
And when we're doing it, you know, our goal here is to make sure that the case gets off to the right start.
Right.
And unfortunately, sometimes people delay. They don't come to us for maybe several weeks. And the problem with that is they have to do certain things. And one of the things that we tell you that you have to do is you got to make sure that no-fault application is filed. It's called an NF2.
Right.
And if that isn't filed, guess what? The insurance company will take the position. They do not have to pay for your medical expenses.
Right.
And now you're in a really bad spot. You're in a bad spot because you're not feeling well. You're suffering, and now that your insurance company or the insurance company for the vehicle that you were in says, well, we're not going to go ahead and pay for those expenses. Now, some people might have private insurance, but it raises a whole nother issue because those policies may or may not have some type of a claim, a lien as against, or subrogation claim as against your recovery.
Right.
Whereas no fault, you would not have to have reimbursed up to the $50,000 or up to $50,000 for any of those medical expenses from your case for pain and suffering. So it's really important that you don't delay getting to us. You need to call us sooner than later. We'd love to have the conversation with you. We really want our clients to get in for the treatment that they need because we want you to get better. That's really our goal, first and foremost, for you to get better. But by speaking to us early on, we're able to make sure that you're doing what you should do and you're not going to put yourself in a position at a disadvantage with some big insurance company. And they're going to be able to go ahead and, for what really are technical reasons, prevent you from treating, preventing you from having a claim where you legitimately are hurt and you're seriously hurt. So make sure that you do reach out to us. Some people will delay and they don't get to us. And now they put themselves behind the eight ball.
Exactly. When you have not filed that no fault app, which is really the number one step in the case, you are preventing yourself from being treated, basically.
Right. And even if you get the no fault claim number, you call up the company, you get a no fault claim number. That in itself is not enough.
Right.
People think, oh, well, I got the no fault claim number. Well, guess what? You didn't file a no fault application in 30 days. You're out of luck. And you're behind the eight ball, and now you're trying to figure out, how do I get treatment for these serious injuries? We don't want you to be in that situation. So call us early. We'll let you know, hey, are you doing the right thing by yourself? Are you doing what you have to do to hopefully get better? And if we could prove you have a serious injury, if that's what you have, then we will do that. So we will see you on the other side as we continue this great topic. Well, welcome back to our program. If you're just joining us, this is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. I have my co-host in the program, my great associate, Amanda Spinner, and you're on our program From No Fault to Your Own. We are live. We're exploring the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents. And you can call us in the studio right now at 631-451-1039 if you have any questions. And if you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone else's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com. It's myinjuryli.com, or call 631-654-4900. It's 631-654-4900. We really would be privileged to fight to get you justice. And always, we have free consultations on all of our personal injury cases. We'll come to see you if you want us to come to your home. If you're in a medical facility, we'll come there too. We have appointments after your work hours, or basic work hours, and we're really always available. And we have our offices in Patchogue, but we also see people all over in the five boroughs in Long Island, Nassau, and Suffolk County. And also listen to our program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we do explore these issues. We're going to have a great guest on the show today. Amanda, I'm excited about it.
I'm very excited.
We got Dave Levenstein. Of course, everybody knows him. David's on 103.9, and he has his own program. But oftentimes, David asks us some of the best questions. He gets these questions from people, I'm sure, on the outside that are listening to our program. But David really has some really poignant questions. So I was thinking about it. I said, why don't we get David on? In fact, we may have him on for a couple of shows. And David could sort of pose those questions. Some of you people out there are a little shy. David's never shy. So David will pose all the questions, and we'll get him on the show here. And David's going to stand in for you and ask us some tough questions, and hopefully we'll have some good answers. Right?
I hope so.
All right, we got to make sure we pass David's test. So let's get back to settlements and how we do that. Amanda, we were talking about automobile cases and how we evaluate liability, right? And liability is what?
So liability is basically who caused the accident. So you're looking at, the percentage between the car that we say hit us and our client as well.
Right. So if you're driving a vehicle and the other car is operating too, you can be liable anywhere from 0 to 100%, and the other vehicle could be liable from 0 to 100%. And so your injuries in full, whatever they're worth, depending on what that percentage, if you're not liable at all and the defendant's 100% and you suffer a serious injury in an automobile accident, then it's worth the full value of what those injuries would be. If you're 50%, then it would be half of that, or 75%. And the way it's valued is just by doing this for many, many years, we have a sense of a particular injury and what a jury ultimately would decide on a case if you went there, and what an appellate court would hold in. So there's right. Where we will get our basics for evaluation, but each case is really different, because sometimes we'll have cases where people are hurt, they have serious injuries that cause pain and suffering that's from the past, the future, but we also sometimes have, in addition to basic economic loss, Amanda, a person can be hurt in a car accident and they could have additional economic loss, right?
Exactly. So the person could be out from work, for example, for extended periods of time. Let's say they needed surgery. That's oftentimes people are out of work for a couple of months and they require aftercare after that. So the value of cases, every single case is different. I know last week we had kind of touched on this, but every fracture is different as well. You know, not everyone heals the same way, and not every fracture requires surgery or doesn't require surgery. It can be a fracture in the same exact area on two different people, and one may require surgery and one may not. So when we value cases, you know, we need to see how the client treats, and, you know, we can't value it on day one.
You know, that's really important because even if you do have a fracture, and we've talked about it on the show, that a fracture under the no-fault law constitutes a serious injury.
Right.
So by definition, if you do have a fracture and you come to us, we will guarantee you at that point that we'll be able to prove serious injury.
Right.
Your case has to have value because once you get to the place of serious injury, the only question is do you have past pain and suffering on that serious injury? Do you have future pain and suffering? Is it going to get better? Is it something you're going to have to live with? And also possibly having economic loss. Over what we call basic economic loss. So if you have economic loss and it's going to be significant over many years, it's possibly that we can get you compensated in large amounts of money, depending, of course, on the insurance coverage. But the bottom line is that each case has to be evaluated separately. You know, to watch a commercial, and we just joke around about that all the time, you see the commercials and they'll tell you, oh, well, we had these cases and this is what we got. Well, okay, that's fine. But what was that based upon?
Right.
And what we want you to do is we want you to be empowered on your case. It's not important to know what the neighbor got or a friend got because your case may be worth less or maybe worth a lot more than that. And there may be aspects of it that we have to look at and we have to evaluate. You know, are you working? Are you able to work? Are you limited in working? What do you do for a living?
Right.
And sometimes, depending on the fracture, it can make a big difference. So if I'm a person that is working hard and I work outside with my hands and I have to swing a sledgehammer and now I can't do that and that's going to affect me being able to get paid. Well, that means that we have to take that into consideration.
Exactly.
You know, if you're working at a desk and swinging a sledgehammer is not one of the duties that you have, then that may not be an issue. So what we do is we tell our clients is, we need to look at your particular situation. We need to evaluate your particular situation. We want to listen to those facts. We want to take the time, have patience, and listen to that. If someone isn't having patience with you when they're sitting down with your case, it's not the right place to be. You need to be in a place where someone's going to take the time and listen to what you have to say, because what you have to say is important. And in evaluating cases, we'll talk about briefly, but we are going to touch on it on other shows, is there are other kinds of cases that we do have to evaluate, and we do other kinds of cases. We do medical malpractice cases. We do trip and fall cases, slip and fall cases. With medical malpractice, that's a whole nother avenue of having to assess cases, right, Amanda?
Exactly. It's a lot more complex, I would say. You know, there's a lot more medical treatment usually involved and for more extended periods of time. Oftentimes, there's a lot of hospitalizations, a lot of special damages in those cases that you have to really evaluate.
And when you mean special damages, what you're talking about is there might be a cost to go ahead and have medical treatment over many, many years as a result of what had occurred. We have to assess, and we talked about it on the show, is there negligence?
Right.
So in the car accident case that we were talking about earlier, it's easier to assess if a person hits you in the rear, most likely they're going to be 100% liable.
Exactly.
But what about a medical malpractice case? So the client comes in and the client has something that has occurred to them potentially that's really bad. Does that mean automatically that you have a case? And the answer is no, because we have to assess and we have to get experts to say that there was negligence, that the doctor or the medical provider did something they shouldn't have done or didn't do something they should have done. And then we have to assess the second part of it is, and we have to have a medical person to say that it actually caused injury.
Exactly.
And what is that injury? So when we're assessing cases, folks, we have to look at each case on its own. We have to evaluate that. And there are cases where sometimes the client comes in and sometimes we've had it on a medical malpractice case and it may not look like a case originally. But as it turns out, as we get more information, we're in a better spot to evaluate it. We get that out to a medical professional, a doctor, to evaluate it and tell us, hey, was this done properly? And by doing that, we're in the best position to go ahead now and give you the best opportunity to get recovery, to get justice. And that's our goal. Our goal is to go ahead and give you that information and tell you as much as we can at the beginning so that you understand the process. But the process does not mean telling you what a case is worth.
Exactly.
And if someone does do that and tells you, well, the case is worth X on day one, run as fast as you can. Literally run as fast as you can, because the person's either not being straight with you or doesn't do this, and either one is not good. And really, we'd love the opportunity to go ahead and meet with you and talk to you about it, talk about your serious injuries, and be able to tell you what we think the case is going to require to process, to evaluate it, and to do everything we can to get you justice. So we're going to be back on the other side with the great David Levenstein. And I say the great because he is the great. He's a great man, great person. But he's got some amazing questions. And I don't know, we got to be up to those, Amanda. So we'll see you on the other side. Well, hi, this is Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured from no fault of their own, please contact Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Whether auto or work-related, slip and fall, trip and fall, construction accidents, dog bite, medical malpractice, or nursing home neglect, or various other types of negligence, please contact me at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg by visiting me at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. I will represent you with integrity and passion. Living in pain from no fault of your own can be emotionally and physically detrimental and affect all aspects of your life. Please contact me, Ken Auerbach, at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg by visiting myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900 for an immediate and free consultation and the support and representation you deserve. Well, welcome back to our program here. You're on our program for No Fault of Your Own. It's Ken Auerbach, and I have my trusty associate, Amanda Spinney, here, and really glad to have on the program today, Dave Levenstein.
Yes, welcome.
David, welcome to our program.
Great. Listen, I've been listening to the show from behind the booth, and if I'm not here in the studio, I get to listen to it in my car, which is really where I enjoy hearing you the most. But I do have a lot of questions for you, okay? And some things that I think about, more or less as I'm driving in the car, when you talk about how you represent your clients, you know, during trial, during deposition, right? But when there's a deposition going on and you represent your client, sometimes a client has to answer questions from you. Sometimes the clients have to answer questions from the other side. That's the insurance company side that doesn't want to pay the money, right?
That's correct. But so actually at our deposition, at depositions, we're not asking our own clients questions on a state deposition.
Okay.
On a federal deposition sometimes, but most of the time in most depositions, it's your adversary. It's the other side asking your client the questions.
Right. Okay. So then if I was your client, I got into a car accident and it's time for my deposition, I'm going to sit there with you next to me, and the other side is going to be asking me questions.
Yes.
Questions that you and I have spoken about, I'm going to answer them honestly. I'm going to answer them to the best of my ability.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to lie because it's a sworn testimony. I'm not going to make up things.
Exactly.
But at the same token, I'm there because I want something, obviously. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They're only there because they don't want to pay you. They don't want to give you money.
Right.
And I'm there because I feel as though I'm deserving of a payment, and I've hired my attorney to best represent me in that fashion. But when it comes down time to the deposition, you, the defendant, the person in the accident, you have to answer all those questions. And they're going to be asking you questions in a way different than you, the attorney, has been helping me to prepare for this deposition. So what can I or anybody in a car accident, what can we expect?
Okay.
What kind of challenges and obstacles are they going to put in front of me to try and get me to or get them to come up to the decision, no, we're not paying them anything?
That's a good question.
It's a really good question, actually. So,
and I say that because I watch trials on TV. I watch all these courtrooms.
Yeah.
And then the witness comes up, and then the testimony for the representative, the lawyer for the witness, asks the easy softball questions.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the prosecution comes up and twists and turns and turns and twists and they ask you questions. Did you say this? I thought you said that. What is that? You know, and does that go on?
So let me tell you what the process is, how okay. it works.
Right.
So what will happen here is in during litigation at some point there'll be scheduled depositions.
Right.
And the depositions in a case, the plaintiff mm-hmm. testifies first on a deposition before the defendants because the plaintiff has the burden of proof. So the plaintiff testifies first.
Right.
Now, if it's handled properly, what should happen is the lawyer should schedule time with you to bring you in, to sit with you, to prepare you for your deposition. And what I do is I literally go through with my clients and I tell them, okay, the other lawyer is going to introduce him or herself to you. We'll give you certain guidelines about what the deposition is going to be about. You're going to have a stenographer there. Nowadays, more recently with the pandemic, we've been doing them virtually, literally over the computer. And you're going to have to answer the questions truthfully. You're going to be sworn. You're going to be put under oath. And what I make sure that I do is I prepare my clients by asking them every question that I actually believe is going to be asked.
Right.
And it may not be exactly the way it's asked, but I can tell you a lawyer who prepares is a lawyer who's going to have the best results.
Right.
And so I don't bring clients in and say, okay, here, we'll take 5 minutes and now let's go in there and answer those questions. That's not doing your client justice. That's not doing your profession justice. You take the time, you prepare, you know your file, you know your client's medical history, you know your client's medical records, you know the liability situation. You know, as an example, if there's going to be a liability issue, so liability means, let's say on an auto accident, is, you know, how did the accident happen? What occurred? Is the defendant liable at all? Is the plaintiff liable at all? Mm-hmm. And sometimes what happens is that's where if you don't prepare your client properly for those questions, they're not going to be able to answer them clearly and they're not going to be able to get the true facts out. So as an example, if let's say you have a case and you have a situation where there was a left turn in front of your client's vehicle. Let's say it's in front of you. Let's say, David, you were in the accident and there was a left turn in front of you.
Okay.
And the way we've explained it is does that mean that the defendant is going to be 100% responsible because they turned in front of you? And the answer to that, Amanda, is what?
It depends.
It depends. And so in a situation where I'm preparing my client, I want...
Why isn't it a definitive answer? Why is it it depends?
Because in New York, liability is anywhere, it's called comparative negligence, between 0 to 100% between the plaintiff and the defendant.
So it has to be shared?
It can be. It's
it
possible.
Doesn't have to be.
It's possible. So in a situation where, let's start out with, I'm preparing you for a deposition and you're stopped at a red light. That's going to be easy, right? As I prepare you. Mr. Levenstein, you're going to be asked questions about where you were and what you were doing at the time of the collision.
Okay, so I'm driving on my way home from work and a car just comes out from nowhere and hits me.
Okay, so it would depend. Now, let me say tell you why it depends.
Okay.
Now, if I'm not taking my time to prepare you.
Yeah.
And I say, well, the car just came out. Okay, just go in there and be ready for that. Well, now the defendant asks a question and says, okay, well, what portion of your vehicle, Mr. Levenstein, came into contact with what portion of the other vehicle? Now, you say, well, why is that important? Because it is important. Because think about it. If the other vehicle just came out and hit you and used that general statement, well, if it came out from the side road and you're in a one-lane road and it came out and hit your passenger door,
right?
What are you going to be able to do?
Nothing.
Okay. What if, however, the other vehicle came out in front of you and it came out in front of you 5 seconds before your front of your vehicle impacted the side of the other vehicle?
I could have turned away.
Okay, well, the argument is that You're also supposed to see what's there to be seen. You're supposed to take reasonable precautions. You're not supposed to be going too fast so that you can possibly do it. So it's not automatic. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Do you see where the depends comes in?
So they could have said, oh, you could have changed lanes. You could have done this. You could have done this.
It's possible. But if you don't prepare your client properly and you don't go over the details of it.
So just because, so what you're saying is just because someone might have gone through a red light or through a stop sign and hit your car and injured you, doesn't necessarily mean they were 100% responsible for your injuries?
That's correct. Now, let's think of the scenario.
See, logically in my head, as the injured person, right?
Yeah. This,
I would think, well, that's baloney. They went through a stop sign. Why do I have to worry about my reflexes when they broke the law and hit me?
Well, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Okay? So let's say that other vehicle is a four-way stop sign,
mm-hmm.
and the other vehicle goes through that four-way stop sign.
Right.
And you actually come to a stop. Now, there's no question, 5 seconds before you got to the intersection, that other vehicle went through the stop sign.
Right.
But that vehicle literally made it through. Didn't cause the injury, didn't cause the accident.
Right.
However, you now, after coming to a stop, are on your cell phone and you're not paying attention. And you happen to go forward and that vehicle that's already through the intersection, you hit him.
Ah, okay. So
now the fact that that vehicle went through the stop sign, there's no question. But did it cause the accident and to what extent?
So they could have gone through a stop sign. I could have been completely at stop, not have paid attention to the fact that this guy just jammed through the stop sign and went and hit him. Now I'm at fault.
Well, it's possible. So do you see why each
yes.
and every fact is important?
Yes.
And if you don't prepare your client for it, if you don't take the time,
right.
literally, and go through it. If you don't talk about the timing, if you don't talk about, well, did you see the other vehicle before it occurred? Where was it? Where was the vehicle when you saw it? How many feet from you was it? Was it moving? What speed was it moving at? What were you looking at? Were you looking down at your cell phone? And we'll talk about after the break, a case that we recently settled, and we were able to come up with some information. We talked about it, I think, on the show at one point. There was a bus accident. And our client was a pedestrian, and it looked like the bus wasn't going to have liability. It turns out they did have liability, and we'll talk more about that on the other side. Well, we're loving David, right?
Yes.
Great job, David.
Okay.
Well, welcome back to our program. If you're just joining us, this is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. Have my co-host, Amanda Spinner, my trusty associate. We have the great David Levenstein on asking us great questions on our program from No Fault of Your Own. We are live, and we're exploring the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents. And if you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone else's negligence, please contact us at MyInjuryLI.com or call 631-654-4900. It's MyInjuryLI.com or call 631-654-4900. We would be privileged to fight to get you justice. And you can also get a free consultation from us at any point. All of our negligence cases are always with free consultations. We'll see you in Long Island, our Patchogue office, or we have other offices. We can see you throughout Nassau and Suffolk and in the five boroughs. And listen to our program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we explore these issues. Well, we are back again with Dave Levenstein, and David is posing some great questions of listeners that have posed to him. Getting back, David, to what you just asked, so again, that's why each and every scenario is different. When
right,
it comes
so,
to liability.
So let me go back to the question so people who are just joining us can just catch up.
Yeah.
The question was, is that just because somebody goes through a stop sign and hits me, is it necessarily their fault? And what kind of questions, as the person looking for the claim, looking for the money, can I expect from the defendant's attorney? To try to get the judge or whoever makes the decision decide on whether or not this case has any merit.
So what they want to do is they're going to want to ask you questions. Let's say it was where they came out in front of you. They're going to want to know, did you see the other vehicle before your vehicle and that vehicle came into contact? Now, your answer in the one where it hits you straight in the side is maybe, no, I didn't see it, or I just saw it out of the side of my eye. And it's going to be hard for them to try to establish that you have any responsibility for that.
Right.
But again, if you're not prepared properly and the lawyer doesn't prepare you, and you know, some clients are not good and some people are not good with time. Okay.
Right.
So I've had this happen.
What do you mean time? Like remembering time?
The amount of time, lapse of time. So where you'll ask the question, okay, did you see the other vehicle before it came out in front of you? Yes, I did see it. Well, how long before there was contact between the front of your vehicle and let me take a step back. What portion of your vehicle came into contact with the other vehicle? Well, my front, and I'm speaking on behalf of you, David, struck the side of the other vehicle. Okay. Yeah. Next question. Did you see it before you came into contact? Yes. How long before the front of your vehicle came in contact with the side of the vehicle did you see
it? And I would say moments. It just happened.
I understand that.
Right.
I've had people say, because they're not prepared properly, because they're bad with time,
right.
I don't know, a minute? I've literally had it. Amanda, have you had that happen?
Definitely. And people are also really bad with...
It's because they're nervous?
Measurements.
it could be, but particularly, that's why you have to prepare someone.
Right.
So when you're going over it, let's say a client says a minute. Then at that point, let's be realistic. Was it a minute? You know it's not a minute. You know has to be a mistake.
Because let's sit here and sit for a minute in silence. It's a minute long.
Exactly.
You can.
Exactly.
You can. And you can do that and say to a client, okay, I'm going to count the minute. And they'll say, well, it was, no. It just happened right away.
Right.
Say, well, but a minute is 60 seconds. So again, not everyone's like that, but I can tell you that's real. Okay, that's real and that happens. And so when you're preparing somebody, I always tell my clients, listen, we're going with truth from beginning to end. We want the truth to get out. I always tell my clients is the minute you say, I guess, you know how we talk generally?
I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Nightmare for us.
Sometimes you're saying, I guess means I'm approximating. So if you're making a reasonable approximation, that's one thing. But the minute
But how can they ask you, how long was it from the time you saw the car to the time the car hit you? And so I guess right away. It happened right away.
Okay. That's a fair... That's not a bad answer.
Right. Because I wouldn't know what... I'm not going to say a minute because a minute is long.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, too fast for me to react any other way.
Okay. But you see, the way you
answer... isn't that relative?
No, but that's not a bad answer to it, okay? Right. Now, the attorney can then say, well, was it more than 10 seconds, less than 10 seconds? And if you can't really figure that, I really don't know. Was it more than 5 seconds, less than 5 seconds?
Right.
So really the point is, David, that it's preparation. It's taking the time to sit and listening to your client.
Okay.
And going through those questions and having them prepared to answer so that the truth comes out.
Okay, so let's continue to the questioning. That's the accident. Now let's talk about the injury part. When you're in pain, what's this level? I mean, I've got these questions when I go like to a chiropractor or something. What's the level of pain from 0 to 10? I back then, now, I don't know. Like they ask questions like I'm sure it's got to be very intimidating to somebody because the pain is relative as well.
I think you have to know.
But my 10 is your 2.
You have to know the client though, and you have to know the best way to prepare that specific client.
Right.
Because there are attorneys that are our adversaries that will keep going at an issue. And if the client's not prepared for that, that's what like gets them all nervous and anxious. You know, we prepare people to say, if you don't know, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because sometimes, honestly, the answer is I don't know is the truth. I tell people when you say I guess blank, guessing isn't truth.
Right.
Because you can't say that's really what you know it as.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's guessing. Right. So the bottom line is what you want to do is you want to make your client feel as comfortable as possible by preparing them, going over it, knowing your file, knowing the injuries. I can tell you most of the time, this is what I tell my clients when we're done. I said, I would bet you probably 99.9% of the time, my clients tell me that my questions in preparing them were more exhaustive than the questions they got at the deposition.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to know because I would imagine for someone to be sitting there with a defense attorney asking them the questions, you're asking the questions in support of their case. They're asking them questions to try and disprove their case.
Yeah, listen.
We don't owe you anything because you didn't miss enough work and you're not really in that much pain, even though it was their fault. You got paid because the car, you get collision, you got everything.
I think you also have to look at the difference between a deposition and then when you're at trial.
Right.
Because a deposition, a lot of the time, I know people think it's like this adversarial crazy thing where the lawyers are yelling at each other and the lawyer's yelling at the witness.
Right.
it's really not like that at a deposition.
No.
We're trying to get as much information out as possible so that way when we get to trial, mm-hmm. we can hone in on those things that we think, you know, are defensible or indefensible.
What percentage of depositions end up going to trial?
So, I mean, the reality is the percentage of trials that cases that go to trial, it's probably 2-3%.
Small.
Yeah. It's a small percent. But you have to prepare, and you have to prepare for that deposition like it will go to trial.
Gotcha.
And so if I'm getting ready for a deposition of a defendant, whether it's on a medical malpractice case, whether it's on a construction accident case, an automobile case, a trip and fall, I need to know my file.
Right.
I need to take the time, because if you're not going to take the time to do that, you're not doing your client justice. And you're going to make a mistake. You're going to miss things that you could otherwise use. I've had cases recently, and Amanda could tell you that, where I was able to use the deposition transcripts and testimony that the doctors, and in a couple of cases that were medical malpractice cases, that the doctors testified about. And I was able to show at trial they testified to something different. Mm. And because I took the time and I knew my file, that really was significant on that case. And so if I could get something clear on the record that is not going to be able to be changed later, and then a defendant tries changing something, then a jury's going to sit there and a jury's going to say, somebody's not telling the truth. And it sounds like the defendant's not telling the truth. Mm-hmm. And so what's important to understand is it's a process. We're going through a process. But you never take the deposition for granted. My associates know it. Amanda knows it. I'm very, very, very strong on you be prepared for that deposition.
After the deposition, and do they say we're not going to trial, let's settle?
It depends. What's the process? It depends. Sometimes it'll settle right after the deposition. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it'll take more time than that. It really, each case is its own, but it's a topic that we could continue talking about.
Yeah, we should.
And we're going to have you on our next show.
I would love to come back.
Okay.
But I want more airtime.
I got more
questions.
You need the whole show.
David, I got to tell you, seriously, and I always joke around with you, but I always say you ask some of the most poignant questions after, you know, when we go off the air.
Yeah.
And it's really things that other people are thinking about.
Yeah.
What's great, David, is all the things that people are thinking about, you're not afraid to ask. So we will be back next week on the show, folks. Really so glad to have you here. If you need us, you know where to find us.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.